Good morning. It's good to be back and see you all again. I was told that the gospel would be very much in order this morning, so that's what we shall do. We shall look at the gospel together. Nothing valuable in here, just can't see good, that's all. Just want to read two verses. First one's in Isaiah 32. And what's amazing about this verse is that it was written 700 years before Christ came. Chapter 32 and verse 2 of Isaiah, "And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land." He's talking about a man that is to come. And the final verse is in John chapter 10, and verse number 9. These are the words of that man, the Lord Jesus, verse 10 of John 10. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, or any person enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." And God will bless the public reading of his precious word. I was reading about an incident on a gospel campaign of Robert Murray McShane, a very famous preacher a long time ago. He was in a village in Scotland, and I think it was 3 or 4 weeks. There was a young man coming out night after night. He was very troubled about his soul. He's very burdened about his sin, and he's coming out to the meetings, and he's trying to get it. He doesn't understand it. As simple as the gospel is, I have to become like a little child and not try and understand the gospel, but just believe the gospel. That's all God asks us to do. He did not know this. So night after night, he's coming out, and he's leading with a heavy heart because he still hasn't got God's salvation. So near the end of the last week, Robert Murray McShane preached one night on John chapter 10, verse 9. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." It doesn't end there. Then we have the blessed life of the Christian in view. Shall go in and out and find pasture. And as Robert Murray McShane is preaching this message, he notices the countenance of this young man change. And you can see that sometimes. I've had that great joy, right, in a gospel meeting, seeing somebody translated from the kingdom of darkness into the glorious kingdom of God's dear Son, like a miracle. That's what it is. Salvation is a miracle. Can't hide it. So he notices that. So at the end of the meeting, the young man approached him. And all Robert Murray McShane asked him is, "How did you get it?" And he said this, "You know, for all these meetings, I have been trying to get into heaven by the saints' door. I thought I had to be good enough. I couldn't picture myself living the Christian life. I could not picture myself happy as a Christian. I didn't realize that it's all Christ. It's all Christ. I come as a sinner and surrender. And it's not for saints, those who think that they're okay, because we're not okay." There used to be a book out called "I'm Okay, You're Okay." No, we're not okay. We're sinners. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, your location is in your sin. I hope you understand that. You've got to get to the point in your life where you realize that. I'm in sin. If I'm not in sin, then I'm not in Christ. And so the young man said, "Tonight I realized it was the sinner's door that men and women are saved by. And I came as a guilty, helpless, hopeless sinner and trusted Christ as my Savior. And I am a child of God. It's for sinners. Sinner's door." It's easy to say we've all sinned, but it's not so easy to say I have sinned. It's not so easy for a man or woman to say about my life, I have been wrong all my life. Those are not easy words to say. The gospel is a very humbling subject, but one that we must have that experience if I'm going to be in heaven. And these things we talk about are just as real as this building and the pews you're sitting in. When we talk about heaven, we're talking about a very real place. When we talk about hell, we're talking about a very real place. It exists. There are multitudes there now, and multitudes in glory. Please understand that. Everything I say, thus saith the Lord. And I'm a nobody. I'm a messenger. I never would have picked me as a messenger. God did. I had no choice in the matter. But he did. And I simply give out a message on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's our prayer that God will speak to your heart this morning if you're here and in your sins, that the words might come forth from my mouth as from God's mouth, like a two-edged sword, piercing your heart and bringing you under great conviction of sin. Because if you don't get under conviction of sin, you can't be saved. It's impossible to be saved because you'll never see your need of a Savior. I'm not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. That's what he said. Matthew 9:13. It's a sinner's door. It's only those who realize that they have no acceptable righteousness before God and the seriousness of this condition who will repent, which simply means I change my mind. I take sides with God against myself. I thought I was all right. I really did think in my heart that I was such a bad person and that when I died, no doubt he'd let me in. But now I realize. I've heard the gospel. I've read it. I've heard it preached. And I understand. I changed my mind. God says all my life I have been like a lost sheep, gone astray, going my own way. I wasn't aware of that, but I am now, and I agree. And God says, I'm not worthy of heaven. We sang in one of the hymns this morning, nothing will stain heaven. One sin will stain heaven. Nothing will stain heaven. Repentance is I change my mind. I have been living. See, God knows our heart. It is not from the teeth out. We're signing something. It's the heart. God knows our heart. In my heart, I say to God, and I mean it, all my life, I've been going with the flow, being accepted. Something about that, isn't there? Especially when you're a teenager. I want people to like me. Why do we want people to like us? I really don't know. There's some people that don't like me, and I say, that's okay. You don't have to like me. It's all right. As a Christian, we are in God's family, and we seek to please him, bring pleasure to his heart. And so I confess to God, all my life, I've been living my life, bringing pleasure into my heart. That's all I've been doing, getting what I want. And now I understand. You have spoken to me by the Holy Spirit, and I understand that I am lost. And if I die in this condition, there's no hope for me. But like Psalm 38, the psalmist said, I'm sorry for my sin. Are you sorry for your sin? Do you ever think about your sin? It's all against God. He's the one with whom we have to do. It's God. It's not what people think of us that's important. It's what does God think of me? When he sees me, does he see me in Christ? Godly sorrow bringeth repentance. And a lot of people aren't getting saved today because they're not sorry for their sin. Because Satan has sort of rocked the world to sleep as though there is no more sin. And people have no more conscience. And even the governments, I'm grateful for the government of Canada, but even here, they're saying, well, this is all right now. Well, it wasn't for thousands of years, but it's all right now. Yes, it's not sin now. We've called it something else. And we're going to let this happen. Men with men can happen, and women with women can happen. That can happen. You see, it's not sin. It's a disease. But God says, if it used to be sin, it's still sin. And he's the one with whom we have to do. So repentance says, I am now ready to halt. I'm sorry for my sin. And I turn in my heart, come as I am, just like that young man, not cleaning my life up. God, you come to me just as you are. I love you. I died for you. I know your problems. I know the things you worry about. I know the habits you'd like to get free of. I know the kind of woman you long to be, the kind of man you long to be, and I want to make you that kind of man. I want to make you that kind of woman. And he does. We weren't meant to go through life being terrified of death. He does not want us to go through life terrified of dying, suddenly cut off. No. That's why he came down and died. And if I have Christ as my Savior, then I have no fear of death, because perfect love casteth out death. There is no fear. Like David said, I won't fear when I go through the valley. That's just one of the great blessings of God's salvation. Samuel Rutherford was a man. He was a distinguished man, and he had respect for the Word of God and so on. He wasn't a believer. And he's an English merchant. He visited Scotland in 1650. On his return, he's talking to his friend. And his friend said to him, what did you hear in Scotland? He said, I heard rare things. I went to St. Andrews, a town, where I heard a majestic-looking man, and he showed me the majesty of God. And I thoroughly enjoyed that. After him, I heard a little fair man, and he showed me the loveliness of Christ. I thoroughly enjoyed that. And then I went lastly to Irvine. I don't know. Okay. I went to Irvine. And I heard an old man named Dixon. And that man showed me my own heart. And that's what we have to see. That's God's work. The Holy Spirit does that. In meetings just like this, some may come in unconcerned, not thinking about these things, but something happens during the meeting. This is God's way of souls being saved. It's the preaching of the gospel, the simplicity of the gospel. It's power. It's dynamite. It's what it is. Simple message. But my, how profound and convicting is the gospel. And now I hear that I am a sinful man, a sinful woman. And that's a marvelous thing. I have a revelation of my own heart. I'm not the good person I thought I was. I'm not. God tells me so. So this man was grateful that he showed me my own heart. And as a result, God revealed Christ unto him and opened his eyes of understanding, and the man was saved. Someone wrote, when I behold thee, Lamb of God, beneath my sin's tremendous load, expiring on the accursed tree, how great my guilt with grief I see. That's what we've got to see. The wonderful man of Calvary. So it is a sinner's door. And that's the first step to salvation, is understanding that. In baseball, we all know about baseball, where you got to get to first base. If you want to get home, you got to get to first base. Strike out, you don't get to first base, you don't get home. Got to get to first base. Salvation, first base, I'm a sinner. First base. There was a World Series. True story. Seventh game, bottom of the ninth, and they were in the home team stadium. One on base, two out. Very dramatic. Two out, runner, and there's a batter up there and a man on base. And everybody's silent, holding their breath. They're going to lose the World Series, one pitch, or maybe they can still get a chance to win. And the man took a mighty swing, and the ball went right out of the ballpark. And there was jubilation. They were in their hometown. Stadium was filled. He ran around the bases triumphantly. Put his foot on home. All the players were there to greet him. All the jumping up and down. And the referee said, "You're out." The umpire said, "You're out." And then there was silence. He said, "What do you mean I'm out?" He said, "You did not touch first base. Your foot went over the bag. And the rule in baseball is you touch all three bases. And then all. Then you're safe. You did not touch first base." And many people today are not saved because they are too reluctant to acknowledge that I am, just as God says I am, a guilty sinner in need of a Savior. It's a sinner's door. It is a sovereign door. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was no ordinary man. He was God, manifested in the flesh, is the way it's worded. Outwardly, he looked like a man. Just a common man at that. He didn't look like a king. But imagine him standing, looking at a multitude of people, and saying this, "I am the door. Heaven has a door. I'm the door. And by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." The key word there is if. If any man enter in. He doesn't force anyone in. I come by my own free will. Imagine him standing there saying that. Nobody challenged him. You ever notice that in the scriptures? John chapter 2, he goes in and he upturns those tables and so on. Calmly, he made a scourge of cords first. And in righteous anger, he threw them out and overturned those tables. Now, he is a carpenter's son, a carpenter from a very modest home in despised Nazareth, wearing common garb. He went in there and did that. And there were all these scribes and Pharisees with their robes on, and they looked so holy. And we read of nobody saying one word to him. Because when he spoke, he did not speak as an ordinary man. Every word he spoke was the word of God. The wind obeyed him. The sea obeyed him. He healed every single person who came to him. Every single person, he healed them. And when he spoke, they said, "He speaks with authority." Not as the learned scribes. They could quote scripture after scripture after scripture. But when he speaks, people listened to what he said. John 14, he's made it so perfectly clear. I am the way. The only way to heaven is me. I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. And no one comes onto the Father but by me. So have you come onto the Father by Christ? That's what this gospel meeting is all about. He's building his church. Still building his church. Called out people, called out sinners from this sinful world. I'm through going with the flow. I don't want to go with the flow anymore. I want to go to heaven when I die, and I want my life to have some purpose and meaning to it. And I want to be truly a man of God, a woman of God. That's the place. That's what's going on in the world. Very simply, boiled down. And everything else here is just a distraction. That's all it is. Satan's distraction to keep everybody looking down and not up at Christ. Boiled down, that's basically what's going on. The souls of men and women, the most valuable things on the face of the earth. It seems from the reading of Scripture, they're almost as precious to Satan as they are to God. What he'll do to go out of his way to stop one man, one woman from coming to Christ. Someone wrote a poem about just four lines, but what think ye of Christ is the test. To try both your state and your scheme, what think ye of Christ? You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. You have to understand that he was God, and as God, he was able to put away our sin. And as righteous God, he is able to declare us righteous, without spot, without blemish, in his Son. He's able to do that. Someone wrote, like man, he walked. Like God, he talked. His words were oracles. His works were miracles. Of God, the true expression of man, the finest specimen. Full-orbed humanity, crowned with deity, no taint of iniquity, no trace of infirmity. Behold the man. Behold thy God. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail, incarnate deity. God, what a wonderful God. God is love. And there's no love story that was ever written or could ever be written greater than Calvary. It's all about Calvary. Life's about Calvary. You've got to get there. In your heart, you've got to get to Calvary and get to Christ before you die. Or there's no hope for you. I do hope you understand. Nothing's going to change. Nothing. No new revelations from God. It's all right here. If you die in your sins, you'll stand before him, and he will say to you, depart from me. I never knew you. You want to go it alone. You want to do your own thing. You didn't want me in your life. And now you stand before me, and you expect to come into my Father's house with all your sin. You did not want me in your life, and I cannot have you in my Father's house. And the last words are, depart from me. I hope you're listening. Depart from me. See, notice it's come unto me. Today it's come unto me. Then it's too late. Depart from me. And here's the whole key of the matter. He said, he's going to say, I never knew you. I never knew you. And why didn't you know him? It's because you didn't want to know him. That's why. That's the only reason. Because he's standing here this morning outside your heart's door, knocking on your heart's door through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you leave the building without Christ and God has spoken to your heart and you felt God calling you, then you've done exactly that. You didn't say it with your mouth, but you said it with your feet and your silence. You said, no, no, I do not want Jesus Christ to reign over me. Don't want it. You know, and he's the only safe place to be. And he is a surprising door to most people. But because of the victory of Calvary, he becomes a safe hiding place for all eternity from God's judgment for sin. That's what Isaiah 32 and 2 is about. He's the hiding place. I'm safe from judgment's storm. The rock. Forest fire raged along the slopes of the Sierra Madre mountain range. There was an Indian reservation nearby, and an Indian, they didn't know, they called him Joe. He thought he'd go up and just survey this great forest fire, but what he didn't know was it was coming around him, and he realized he was in danger. So he took the saddle off his horse, and he gave it a slap, and he hoped the horse would make it to safety. Now what's he going to do? He saw a rock. And it looked like just enough room under the rock to hide a man, to crawl in there. So he did. He crawled inside the hole. And then he heard the crackling of the fire as it swept across, felt the heat. Then it was silent. He came out from underneath the rock, unscathed. Fire didn't touch him. He looked at that rock, all black, all scarred by the fire. And he realized it was that rock. The hiding place in that rock saved his life. And Jesus Christ said, I am the only safe hiding place, me. And the door is wide open. I am the door, it's wide open. And I'm inviting sinners to come every single day. Maybe nobody will be saved today in Charlottetown, but I'll tell you one thing. All over the world, there are going to be souls saved today. And they're going to go on their way rejoicing. And you'll still be here if you don't trust Christ. You'll still be the same old person you are right now. What is your life? What's the purpose of your life? You think about that. The journey is what life is. It's a journey. And a journey has an end. We don't like to think about our end. For some reason, it's like we're insane people. We don't like to think about our end. And our end could be tonight or tomorrow. I don't even think about it. And I know the Bible. And I know I'm going straight down and be utterly consumed in terrors, Psalm 73. I know that. And yet I carry on in my life. Doesn't sound like the thinking of a sane man to me. It's a singular door. The door. Sinners only, sovereign. And it's a singular door. He did not say, I am a door. He said, I am the door. Only one door. As the ark that Noah built had one door. Just one. The Old Testament is full of pictures of Christ, His glory, and His work. It's full of the gospel. Two chapters on creation. We learn more in Job about creation than we learn in the first two chapters of Genesis. And all the rest of the Bible is about Him. It's all about Him. Interwoven through all the pages of Scripture is the Lord Jesus Christ and various aspects of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes people think, well, the gospel is a very simple message. It's for unsaved people. I'm saved. I don't need to hear it. But we do need to hear the gospel. We do. And if it's not ministering to our hearts, the person of Christ as a Christian, then there's something wrong with my heart. Because the whole gospel is an exaltation of His person, of His work, of His glory, is what it is. Is that not ministry to my heart? Indeed, it is. But it is also the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now, Noah was called by God. God's inside the ark, obviously, because He said, come into the ark. And then God shut the door. Well, He's calling today. Prince Philip was in a city overseas, and he decided he would have all the British subjects come to a banquet. And a missionary thought to himself, I don't have very, very nice clothes. You know, I'm not a very elegant man. I feel very much out of place there amongst these august people. So he sent back he wouldn't be coming. 3 days later, there was a knock on his door, and it was a protocol officer from Prince Philip. He said, sir, there's something you don't understand. An invitation from royalty is to be looked upon as a command. A command. You will be at the banquet, sir. Now Jesus Christ says, come unto me. What a gentleman is he. He knocks at the heart's door. What a gentleman. And so he stands 2,000 years gone by and he's still saying, come. Come unto me. Pierced hands. It's a singular door. And it's a choice we have to make ourselves. Well, it's a saving door, of course. Shall be saved. Saved from the penalty of sin, saved from the power of sin in my life. That's what I did not know. That was the greatest surprise to me after I was saved. All I knew was I was going nowhere, and I was disgusted with the face I saw in the mirror. Had enough. Had enough. That's all I knew. I want to be saved. I saw the Christians. I saw how they were happy. I couldn't envision myself happy. That was my problem, the enemy feeding that. You couldn't be happy with all the things you like to do, the sinful things. Look how they live. You couldn't be happy. But there's one day, enough is enough. God brought me there. And I stood up, and it was like chains fell off of me. For the first time in my life, I knew what it was to be free of sin's power. Changed. It's a revolution that takes place. A revolution. And people say, what has happened to you? You are different. You even look different. Will that be true of you if you get saved this morning? Yes, it will. Because you will love a man. On a spiritual level, you will love the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll want to please him. You will. I know you can't picture it now, but stop trying to picture it. Just believe the gospel this morning. A little boy went in the store with 3 shillings in England a long time ago and said, I want to buy a present for my mother. This is the storekeeper. He said, what is it, her birthday? He said, no. Is she sick? No. Then why the present? I just want to show my mommy that I love her. Well, he was quite touched by that. He said, you know, in my store, many things for a shilling would be a lovely gift for your mother. You spend 1 shilling on your mother, and then you've got 2 left for yourself. The little boy did not hesitate. He said, no, sir, I want to spend it all on her. And spend it all, he did. And so will you. You will want to spend your all for him. You will not be the same person. It is a miracle indeed. It's a saving door. I guess there's time to read this little poem. It's very lovely. It's not very long. Major Andre. He was with the South Civil War in America. He was executed. They didn't know he was a believer. He was a believer. So he died without fear. And they executed him. In his pocket, they found this poem. I'm not going to read it all. Enwrapped in thick Egyptian night and fond of darkness more than light, madly I ran the sinful race, secure without a hiding place. But thus the eternal counsel ran, Almighty love, arrest that man. I felt the arrows of distress and found I had no hiding place. Ere long a heavenly voice I heard, and mercy's angel soon appeared. He led me with a beaming face to Jesus Christ, the hiding place. On him almighty vengeance fell, which must have sunk a world to hell, the whole world. He bore it for a sinful race and thus became their hiding place. And the last stanza, should 7-fold storms of thunder roll and shake this globe from pole to pole, no thunderbolt shall daunt my face, and for Jesus is my hiding place. He's mine. So is he yours? See, he either is or he isn't. You haven't got 1 foot inside the door and 1 foot outside the door. And you can stand outside the door and say, well, I know all I have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and I'll be saved. But you know what? You may stand there and die out there. You think about that, please, this morning. Why not you? Why not me? Other people, the car accident, these things that happen to people, suddenly they're gone. Well, why not me? Why not you? Well, you think it might not happen to you. Why wouldn't it happen to you? The Bible says that we know not the day of our death. And it says, prepare to meet thy God. This is thus saith the Lord. God's saying that. Prepare to meet thy God. There was a young lady talking to a preacher, and she said, I don't think God will ever accept me. He said, no, he won't. He will never accept you. And she was kind of taken aback. She was hoping for something positive, some positive feedback. But he said, no, you're right. He'll never accept you. But he has accepted his son. And if you'll trust Christ as your Savior, he will accept you in Christ. That's the only way. And that's the only way. Without Christ, Ephesians 3:12, having no hope and without God in the world. They asked him a question in Luke 13. The disciples said, are there few that be saved? And the Lord in his wisdom, he didn't really answer their question right out. He told them about the future. About those people standing outside the door, fully expecting to get into heaven. They fully expected to get into heaven. Their language says so. Many wonderful works in thy name. You know me. But they were not. Because they had no hiding place. They had no connection with Christ. They were trusting in how they lived. It says in Acts 4 and 12, neither is there any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We must be saved. It's wonderful you came today. A divine appointment. I believe that. It's a satisfying door as well. Very satisfying. It's not like joining the happy gang, but it's a very satisfying life. Notice what he said. Go in and go out and find pasture. That's very positive. Pasture for the sheep. He keeps his own happy. Yes, he does. He keeps his own happy. It's an exciting life. It's a marvelous life. It's lived in a very high plane. We look like ordinary people, but we're not ordinary people. We're not. We all have, Christians, we all have the same nature within us. We have the very nature of God within us, every single Christian. We are no ordinary people. We have the answer to every single problem this world has. And we know why the world has its problems, and we also know the future. God wrote the history book, Revelation, even before it happened. That's the future. God's already written it down as history. These things are going to happen. Satisfying door. I'm very privileged to be an evangelist. I knock on doors a lot with invitations and tracts. And I saw a little sign on the door. And I thought it was quite presumptuous. Maybe it was true. But they said, all who enter are blessed. Maybe they are. I don't know. But that sign could be put outside that door. All who enter this door are blessed, and they will not regret one single moment ever entering that door. Never a regret, never. I know there's not one Christian in this room who would say, I regret the day I got saved. No, we rejoice every day we rejoice. I am God's. When I awake, I'm still with thee. Yes, and his banner over me is love. Marvelous thing to be a Christian. A Christ one. A woman came into a gospel meeting and she said, you know, I think you people, after the meeting, she saw them hugging one another and shaking hands, and they loved it. She could tell they did. She was an unhappy woman. And she said to a man, I think you people have something I don't have. He said, well, you just used the wrong word. It's someone you don't have. It's Christ. And we all need Christ. I don't know why this was on the wall of a hotel down in Portland, but it was a little sign. It said, go in, go out, get on with your life. That's what God is saying. Go in, go out, go on with your life. But your life will now be completely different. You'll have power in your life to live a life pleasing to God. You will. And you will, like that hymn, it's this whole time religion. Good enough for my father, saved him, saved me. Good for my mother, saved her, saved me. But the last stanza says this, it makes me love everybody. And it does. Because we understand. When I look into that cashier's eyes, I understand. I had a t-shirt made up. Beth made it up for me. She knew what I wanted. Says, in Christ, the only safe place to be. Isaiah 32 and 2. Yes, that's enough. And they're looking at that. Well, they're looking at this, then they're going to hear this. Yes, I'll tell you about what this means. The man. Are you hidden in that man, that mighty man? Or are you exposed to the judgment of God? So simple is the gospel. If I prayed every morning that God might bring just one across my path to witness to, how different would my day be? How different would your day be? Because you'd be looking for that person, wouldn't you? You'd be looking for them. God, I want to speak to somebody today about their soul salvation. Please bring someone in my life. Now, he may not every day, but at least I'm ready. Now, see, I'll push my life, my day, on a very high plane now. Nothing's by accident. And maybe I meet someone and tell them the wonderful story of Calvary. And finally, it's a separating door. Matthew 25 and 10, and the door was shut. Luke 13 talks about the door being shut. Matthew 7, he talks about the door one day will be shut. You can pound on it all you want to. Call him Lord all you want to. But you'll be banished from his presence forever because you're too late. Just in closing, a man took a ferry boat to work across the bay every day. And on one particular day, just as he got there, the doors closed on the ferry boat. That was no real big deal because he'd be back across again. 20 minutes, he'd be late for work, but that was okay. He was the boss. It's okay. So he sits in his car. Now, he had not thought about Jesus Christ, the Bible, Sunday school, memory verses, all his life. He's now in his 30s. And it was just as the voice of God spoke to his heart, and God said, and the door was shut forcibly to his mind and heart. And he said to himself, if that was a door of heaven, I'd be lost forever. And he could not get it out of his mind. He was not thinking about work on his way across the ferry. And when he got up to his office, he told his secretary, I do not want any visitors. I do not want any phone calls. Got on his knees. And he wept. He wept like a little baby. Thank you, Lord, for keeping that door open long enough for me to get in. Because I sure don't deserve it. And none of us do. And the door was shut. It's a separating door. People think this world's going to go on and on the way it is. They actually think that. Things are just going to keep going on and on. But the young people are doing a lot of thinking. I've noticed that in talking to people. They see through a lot of things. And they see what's happening. Like you can almost feel it in the air. Something of great import is going to happen to this world. And we know what it is. That last soul is going to be saved. And down from the glory to the air will our Savior come. And that is when the door is shut. So, when we preach the gospel, when I preach the gospel, I preach it with a sense of urgency. And I also preach as a dying man to dying men as never sure to preach again. Because I do not know if I'll ever see your face again. But that's the gospel. Very simple. Do not try and understand. Just believe what God has said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent. Turn with all your heart. God says, thou shalt be saved. May God bless you. We'll pray. Father in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we draw near to thee and thank thee that heaven's door is still open, Father, and that thou art still calling lost sinners out of this sinful world, in through the door, that hiding place. For him we thank thee. We ask thy blessing on the gospel, if any are here in their sins, Father. We pray like that man in the ferry boat, that they might not be able to get this message and what they've heard out of their mind. We ask thy blessing and salvation, acknowledging that salvation is of the Lord. And we ask thy blessing as we part, giving thanks unto thee for the Lord's day, a day to remember him and give honor and glory, for he is worthy. Our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.